Hello, our smutty little friends. This week we are going to be sliding between the pages with Rebecca Quinn. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hello, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, really good.
That is awesome. Now, you began your career publishing.
Yes, I did.
So, give us a bit of a background on that. Rather than me talking all about you, why don't you talk about you?
So I did a creative writing degree back in the day, which is possibly the most useless degree as far as usually getting like any kind of actual career prospects, but I loved it. It was really, really good. And I ended up doing a postgrad diploma of editing and publishing. And my first job was at Harlequin, Mills and Boon. So I worked in their production department. So printing all of the like wonderful muddy romance novels, and I mean their whole Mills and Boon range and the other things that they did. And I loved it. Like, I ended up doing some freelance editing for them as well. They were really, really, yeah, they were really great. They're like a really fun company to work for. And it was kind of all of the things that I like love and still love doing, romance and all the rest. I kind of moved on from there into magazines and did editing for kind of some of the big Aussie magazines like That's Life and all of the like weekly mags and things like that. And kept in publishing production, working with printers and things like that. And yeah, a bunch of traveling overseas. I've done freelance editing for authors and ended up doing editing for legislation and the government, which was
A little bit different.
different. They paid me a lot more money than I deserved. I just sold out for a while and then was just like, I guess, creatively starving for a while. So I ended up writing a lot more while I was there as well. And and then kind of eventually decided to just wing it and, well, not, I mean, have a go at self-publishing. And sorry, winging it makes it sound like I just like the press publish one day, but like I decided to give it a proper go, and it worked somehow so far, knock on wood.
I'm very excited to talk about this series actually, but I do love how you're like, turns out she's a little debauched. You love writing inclusive, character-driven, reverse harem romances with heart, humor, and kinky heat. And I feel like that's really understated.
Oh my God, it's so unders. I've been holding this in. I've been holding this in until we started. I was like, actually, I've been quite excited about this episode too.
Because today we're going to talk about the Brutes of Bristlebrook trilogy, of which there are two books out so far. Ensnared and Entangled are books one and two, and you are working on book three. Now, is your website accurate in that you're about 20% into there, or does that need to be updated and you're like 90% in? Because I think that's where it would be great if you were up to.
It would be great if that's where I was up to. No, I think 20% is pretty accurate. I've kind of been mad rushing around doing things for like events and stuff. So I'm not as deep into it, but I've kind of, now that I've got everything organized for Rare Paris, which I'm gonna be at in a couple weeks, I've now just got like basically 2 months cleared out, ready to just like deep dive into writing. I'm gonna sit in cafes and, sip my coffees and then move to a bar and sip my wine, and I'm just going to like, get my full 1920s bohemian writing vibe going.
I so this is a post-apocalyptic why choose and on paper when you're explaining things to, so when I explained it to Beck, she was like, how does that work? And I'm like, you just need to read it and then you'll understand. because it all just works really well.
To be fair, as soon as she said post-apocalyptic, I'm like, all in. I love that stuff. And I was telling Amanda yesterday, which she was like, you're so weird. The reason I love it is because when I was, and I'm telling
you. Please explain. Please explain to the class bit.
When I was a child, I used to, like, and, you know, my cousins and I would be, like, riding our bikes or, like, you know, running through the creeks and stuff. I sound like J-Lo now. I used to pretend in my head that, like, it was, like, you know, like an apocalyptic world, and I had to, like, look after all my cousins in the forest and stuff.
Yes.
There was no romance associated with my mind back as a child. But now I love
that. Now.
I love
well, that's,
that.
I mean, that's kind of like my thing as well. I mean, I know post-apocalyptic, I feel like, can be a bit like polarizing for some people sometimes, but I love it as well. Like, it came, like, I feel like there were so many apocalyptic type, you know, especially like YA stories. And it was a big thing when I was starting to read a lot of like kind of bigger world things, so I just fell in love with the genre, the stakes, like all of that kind of thing. And you know, but I love
adventurous
romance,
so. And it gets you thinking, like, actually, like
what would I
happen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Same as, like, I love those shows too, except for you know the ones that have big mushroom heads and stuff like that's a bit freaky. That kind of terrifies me a little bit, but you know, it could happen, and I'm like, you know, where would I live in the forest? Like, would I be able to start a fire? I don't know how to hunt a rabbit.
And this is true. And I, we all know that my mind needs to think about these scenarios in advance. Like,
exactly.
Maybe
you gotta have a plan, not, man.
Yeah, exactly. Like, because I do have these thoughts, you know, and like, what would happen? Like, I don't have them necessarily post-apocalyptic all the time, but in a general sense, like, what would happen if, you know, somebody broke in my house? Like, where am I going to go get my weapons from? That sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to plan for that, and it does really bring into play, like, if this day death happened, which, look, let's be honest, like, with the current climate, it could. And so you need to know, like, and I don't think I could start a fire, to be clear. I don't think I could. I would be extremely bored. I'm going to need to. And this is why when people laugh at you for going on a plane and like downloading 20 books just in case, well, you know, you need to have the books there.
You'd be happy if you survive, you're going to want those books.
Well, exactly right. Because if I end up in a post-apocalyptic world, I'm going to have so many books to get me started, and like, then I'll have to go and raid the libraries like Eden did. But yeah, I mean.
And, you know, and obviously we will talk about the book in depth, but, you know, she does, there is a part in that book where she does go out into the forest and she's got her little bag, and in it is a book. Like, she's, I love that.
She knows.
She's
got these priorities.
And I also have a book in case I'm sitting around waiting to, you know, see what happens. I've got a book.
You know, exactly. It's boring out there. There's a lot of thinking time, you know. There's only so much self-contemplation you can do.
Exactly.
It would kill me. Mm-hmm. And what would annoy me more is not having all of those books that were on my TBR, because I'd be like, this is the perfect time to finish them, and not having them would just piss me off. I'm like, why? Like,
for
it's
sure.
Very unfair, you know. Like,
all of the non-print books that, you know, aren't in the libraries, all of that. Oh,
exactly.
Tragic.
Exactly.
Absolutely tragic.
Yeah.
I mean, the way that Amanda explained this to me, she's like, okay, it's post-apocalyptic, it's why choose, and they're members of a sex club. I was like, wait, sorry? Like, there's a sex club in the post-apocalyptic world? Like,
yeah.
What's happening? But anyway.
So that's not how I said it, but that's how your mind took it, okay?
That's how you said it. So
that's how your brain took it.
Members of a sex club. I was like.
No, I
there
said.
Are some dots. Yeah, there are some dots that, like, trying to explain it, even trying to write a blurb for it. I'm like, there are some interesting.
But I was there for it, right? I was like,
concepts. Actually,
in a post-apocalyptic world, that sounds great.
What I said was, and they're all
members
slash members because they all went to the same sex club because they're rangers and it makes sense.
Oh, yeah. She also let out said they were. Yeah. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah. That's where they were. It was, you know, a nice little bonding session.
But the thing was...
Well, because you've got a lot of stress and tension and, you know, obviously being in that job, you already have like a major control fetish. So it makes sense. And this is the thing. So where we are is we've had like a world-ending event with bombs and, you know, all of this type of thing, which they call day death. And basically the population went feral, which, I mean, again, not a hard stretch. You know, people are, you know, looting and
out for themselves. I mean,
people went feral during COVID. Like, it wasn't
exactly. It's not a hard stretch. Like, I'm not even, and I don't even have to turn my mind to try and envision this. Like, it's just immediately there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people ran into the forest. Like Eden, our main female character, she's gone. She's like, look, I just need to get out of here because I know how this is going to go. Like, I'm a woman, you know, I know where this is going. I'm going to go out. I'm going to set myself up in a cave. You know, she gets her little bits and pieces and importantly, the books. And she's smart about it, you know. She goes to the library. She gets books on, like, herbs and stuff like that because we don't have medicine, you know. We've got to make sure that we know all of these types of things. And, in fact, that knowledge is very helpful for her during the books. Mm-hmm. You know, so she goes, she does all of this, and we basically start with her being chased by a mob of, you know, angry, gross men who have decided that, you know, they have seen a woman and they want her. And fortunately for her, runs into like three extremely good looking muscly men on the bank of the river.
That was very fortunate.
I mean, these guys, she's initially like, oh shit, I've just got myself into more trouble. But they're all like, hey, darling, because one of them's Southern, you know, Bo is all like, hey, darling, what are you doing here? Like, they're just on a, you know, happy-go-lucky walk through the woods. And she's all like, I'm about to be, like, you know, abused. And, I mean, there's three of them. There's Dom, there's Bo, and there's Lucky. Now, Bo and Lucky are all like, oh, my God, a woman. And Dom's like, ugh, annoying.
Right,
like, this is not what we need. Yeah. We're on a mission. We need to complete our mission and return to our home. But
Dom's lacking some manners there. Not that
Dom has some troubles with control. In fact, he's probably the one with most of the control issues, which is a surprise when you meet the other characters. But he's like, you know what? Like, she's really just annoying. We don't need to help her out. Like, let's just be here for ourselves. But Bo and Lucky cannot let that happen. So they're all like, yeah, we're heroes. You know, we're rangers. We're going to do our little mission and take down these people.
Oh, you have a sore foot. Let me fix it.
Yeah. And of course, Bo is a doctor. So that's very handy.
At that exact time.
And yeah.
So she can't run anymore.
She can't. They obviously play hero. Yes. And they save the day. Some of the people manage to get away, but that's okay. They've ran off in fright. And Bo and Lucky are like, yay, now we get to take the girl home. And Dom's like, hell no, that's not gonna happen. You know, Bo and her have this epic makeout session, and she's all like, oh, what are these feelings I feel down below? because, you know, she's never really had that before, because she was in this like controlling marriage with this like less than husband. And yeah, so of course we have our practical leader Dom, and he's just like, do you know what, fine, if you must come back, that's okay, but you'll just have to have sex with all of us. All of us, we don't share, that causes problems, so it's just going to be, there's five of us there, you'll just have to be a part of it. And she's
all
like,
you need to walk around giving orgasms out, love, like, that's all you need to do,
that's your job. And she's like, I don't know, because I don't really like sex. But then, like, Bo, you know, gets her all worked up, and she's like, you know what, I could like it,
and I have a sore foot,
and I do have a sore foot.
And then they said they had a bed and a shower.
She was like, holy shit, sold.
I should probably,
they got some cheese,
they had, and they got cheese, and they had cheese,
pretty compelling.
I know. Yeah, that was so amazing. They take her back to their little house, Bristlebrook. Well, it's like a little sanctuary in the rock. And I mean, they've got everything there. Like, honestly, what happened? What day there? There's none. Like, you know, we're just living life out here in the we've got a music room, you know? Like we are next
they're
level.
Very, you know,
we
they're very
have a dishwasher.
In their apocalypse.
We've got a dishwasher. So many things. And yeah, that's when we meet the whole gang. So we've got like a gang of rangers and their psychologist. Again, so handy. You know, he is there for all the therapy needs of these men who desperately need it.
Desperately need it. One might argue that
yeah,
hasn't been terribly effective until this
point. I must say, though, I feel like he may need to up his ante because I feel like there's still a lot of bottled up emotions.
A lot of feelings that aren't getting resolved.
There are a lot of unresolved feelings in this
there
house,
sure
including his own.
Including his own. And this is the thing, and I think this might be the key to his issues in relation to providing the therapy, is that he probably needs his own therapist. And so it's really difficult to be able to provide therapy effectively when he also needs therapy. So it becomes an issue there. And that's Jasper, of course, our psychologist who still dresses like he's going to, like, you know, a country club in the middle of the apocalypse. I just think it's amazing.
It probably gets him through the day.
He's got his silk button-up shirts on. Yeah. He's got his little pocket squares. I love just
formal, correct attire for a book.
And the correct way of speaking, like, he's still very much like a gentleman.
But that's like, even when they go and get her clothes eventually and they bring her back a pencil skirt, I was like, how uncomfortable.
I know. Get some yoga pants.
I know. Where's the athletic wear?
Like, she's got some of that in there, but I think, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Well, they need it for their fancy dinners, you know, that they're going to have.
That's true.
Their dinner nights. Mm. Yeah. And then we have Jake, which I don't know why I was saying to Beck, the fact that his name is spelt JAYKOB for some reason makes him like 10 times hotter.
Yeah. it reflects his growing up. I think that kind of spelling, the extra Y's, he's rough and ready.
Yeah, so he has had a rough upbringing. Him. He's like, you know, and he's got a lot, like he has a large chip on his shoulder in relation to that and feeling inferior.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
In fact, he even lives out in like a little outhouse, like he's completely separated himself.
Isn't it fun?
And again, this is the therapy type situation here. Like, come on, guys, we can see that he needs some intervention here. You know,
yeah.
He needs some love. The bonding needs to occur. Yeah. And then obviously Lucky, who again becomes like 10 times hotter when you find out his name's actually Lucian. And for some reason, when Jasper says his name, it also becomes like hotter. 50 times hotter.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bo.
Even when Jasper calls him, oh no, there's even when Dom calls Bo Beaumont.
Oh my God. I know. I know.
Their little thing.
And there's a lot of complex history going on here. You know, we've got Jake out in the barn who, you know, he does all the fixing of all the things because he's like, you know, the mechanic and he can fix all the things, but he's got this really big inferiority complex and he basically thinks that like they all just hate him and he's just there because, you know, conveniently he was with the group when everybody else died. So they're like, yeah, well, you may as well come back with us type thing. Jasper, who owns the house, you know, he had retired a year before all of this to avoid something. You know, he did tell Eden it was too because he was running from something, but it ended up catching up with him. And now they're all living in his home, you know.
What a way to retire.
I know.
Yeah, right.
And we've got Lucky, who is just like the fun, playful, like I want to make everybody smile, I'm going to break the tension type thing. But he's also got this like craving for Jasper, you know, just just watching after Jasper with his little puppy dog eyes. And then Bo and Dom, who have like a super weird relationship because they're like best friends, but also have this like sexual chemistry as well. But that's never discussed. It's more like, yes, we had a plan and it was always that we would share a woman between us and not for any reason other than that we're very best of friends, you know? And so there's that. And then poor Eden. She's just coming in the middle of it.
In the middle of all of these things that none of them
talk
about.
So many things.
None of them talk about at all.
That none of them talk about. And yeah. She's all like, I'm pretty much a virgin, really. Like, she is. I mean, she's had sex, but I mean.
Not good
sex. Has she? Yeah. No, not really. Yeah. I know. Like, it was kind of like, is it in type sex, you know? And that's where she's at. And then she comes in here and they're all like, right, so you're here and what we'll do is, and Dom, being the ever practical one, is like, right, so obviously we'll give you a week off so that you can get into it and then we're going to be on a roster, two on, one off. You know, it's very clinical. Like, if you could fit more than one in one day, then that's fine too, but, like, that's the way it's going to go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I said to Amanda, I'm like...
Quite overwhelming, really, for her.
More than one in one day. What's happening right now? She could really work this roster.
Yeah, she totally could. Yeah. She's not feeling that ambitious at that point in the story, but, you know, like, if she really gets her thinking cap on, there's, like, there's ways this can work.
Then she could have more rest days, you know? Like, that's what I'm thinking, you know?
If you want rest days.
But in her mind, a lot, this is very overwhelming, like, so, so overwhelming. In Dom's mind, he's all like, look, I need to get my end wet, but at the end of the day, like, she's a complication and I'm not going to let Bo get his heart broken because, you know, obviously he's a good pal. So he's like, look, I'll let him get his end wet, but I'm not going to let him get too involved. So I'm just going to keep bringing him out of the house.
I'm going to keep
can't really spend too much time.
Yeah.
And that's the way his mind's working. Jake's like, meh, whatever. Like, again, haven't had sex in like 3 years. So that's cool. I guess I can be a part of this. And Lucky's like, oh my god, yay, this is the best. And as we alluded to before, all of these guys went to the same sex club prior to the day death, and in fact that's where they were when everything went down. It's very convenient, you know, because they weren't, you know, injured at all because they were at the sex club. And so, yeah, I mean, we've got Dom, who is a Dom, and then we've got Jake, who is a primal Dom, and then we've got Jasper, who's a Dom but also a sadist. Mm-hmm. Bo is a Dom. And then Lucky kind of likes a Dom every now and then but is more a masochist, and a submissive.
Yeah.
So there's a lot. There's a lot for Eden. Like, she doesn't even know about that sort of stuff. Like, she's all like, what do you mean? You know, like, okay.
And at this point, she's still trying to figure it out. I don't even know if she's trying to figure it out. I don't think she quite understands what she's meant to be doing.
No.
like, submitting to them or anything like that. But then she just tends to do it a bit more naturally, like, with Dom without her even realize she's actually doing it.
It's very instinctual. Taking their lead for sure, and some other things. And between the personal and the kink dynamics, there's a lot going on. There's a lot for her to wrap her.
There is a lot.
You know, we learn about why Dom is kind of the way he is too. Yeah. Why they're all like that with each other, and it all because of Heather and Thomas.
Yeah. There's history with all these people that used to live at Bristlebrook and betrayals, and, you know, Dom betraying Bo for a woman who left him. Scandal. Poor Bo.
Scandal. Left him.
Poor Southern doctor.
Yeah.
But, yes, so, I mean, that's, I think, an overview for anybody who hasn't read it. I mean, obviously, you just want to go and read it right now. But, my God, the book is a journey, and it is a lengthy book, which I absolutely loved because the whole time I was like, please let me not be very far in. So I was just keep checking back at my percentages and being like, oh my God, yay. So I've got 60% left. There's like so many parts of the plot like it's very plot driven, as well as having those, as you say, character like dynamics that you like. But my question to you is, like, how many sex clubs have you been to? Because, like, really, these scenes.
I've been to a couple, but yep. None of them have been like this. Like, not to that level. Like, not that classy. Let's say.
I feel that you have done an extensive amount of research then, because like these scenes were like
actually more realistic. I feel
like level, like yeah. So fucking hot, but also like so detailed. I just like loved them.
Because yeah. You read BDSM stuff and it doesn't seem authentic.
I mean, I love the whole kink dynamic. I love I love a lot. Like, I love everything to do with it, basically. Not everything, sorry, that's a lie, but I like a lot of things to do with it. I did do a lot of research for the things that, I mean, I've been with my partner for like 12 years now, so you know, like we don't tend to like venture out to do those kind of things, but for any gaps in my knowledge, I had two BDSM educators also helping fill in any gaps that kind of my research didn't, or my personal interest also didn't cover. But I mean, because I think there's that also that thing, like there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of different dynamics that are going on in the book between the different characters. So it's really fun kind of exploring the other sides of it. And one of the things I really love, like kind of writing about, is I think there are so many really beautiful and elegant ways that kind of relationships and these kink dynamics can kind of like really interact, and like they kind of heighten a lot of natural dynamics. I mean, I really I think that there's so much that gets articulated in kink that maybe isn't in a lot of non-kink relationships. So it's just interesting to see how that kind of plays out, and people are really forced to like kind of confront and question and, you know, find what their boundaries are and kind of be able to let go of certain things while in the safety of, you know, all of these kind of rules and all of these rules and kind of customs. I think they're lovely. It's really fun to write about. I think it's just fun. I just like it. I think I'd struggle, not struggle, but I think I do really like writing kink, and I think most of my books will have some sort of dynamic, if not as explicitly kind of done going forward as well, because I just love it.
I think you explain that so well, because there is one particular scene where the kink aspect is extremely important for them when they're in the river, more so for Eden.
Yes.
And they explain that to her. We're going to use kink to make you feel better, but not just obviously with pleasure, but also like mentally helping her out of a very shitty situation she was just in.
Yes.
And I think that's actually one of my favorite scenes, actually. I have so many, I highlighted so many, but when I read that, I was like, this is actually beautiful. Like I really loved that. And then of course, you know, they fixed her and then pleasured her after. Yeah, but that whole chapter was I really loved that. And I thought it was really well written and a different way to view kink as well.
Sorry,
go ahead.
No, you go.
I was just going to say, with a lot of those kink dynamics, I think it's, you have to be so vulnerable and you're really giving up, like, I mean, at its essence, you're giving up control and you're turning trust over to other people that you've, you know, given that trust. And, you know, making sure that you're giving it to people who aren't going to abuse it and who are going to be, you know, there's so much responsibility on both sides when it comes to kind of that dynamic. And I really like that scene as well for, you know, that kind of, they're pushing her hard because that's what she kind of needs at that moment. But they're also constantly giving her outs and letting her know that she's safe in the scene with them. Mm. You know, and I really love writing about consent. Like, I think that's one of my things that I really just enjoy including in my own books. I also like that, like, it can be sexy. Like, it's not just like a, you know, just to like a, you know, say yes. I feel like it, you know, consent can come across as quite unsexy, but yeah, I think in these kind of dynamics it can become a lot hotter.
Yeah. Well, even though she's submissive, right, or it, like, she still has full control over everything that's happening there. And yeah. Sometimes you can read BDSM books and that piece is missing.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say. I find that with a lot in that, in kink books, where you can tell that maybe the author hasn't necessarily looked into it very well, because
or understand it.
The understanding of the dynamic of the relationship and not understanding how much control the submissive actually has in terms of,
you know, it, really
using the safe words and and also like the huge vulnerability and trust on that side from the dom as well, because like a dom who is well trained is trusting that a submissive will know when they've hit their limit and use their safe word, and that is actually like a huge, like, it's not like, it's quite respectful to do that. And yes, that a dom would exactly actually find that of quite course respectful, that I know, well, if it has gone too far, that you're going to use your safe word and that you're not going to put yourself in a situation where you're going to be, you know, doing something that you're not actually enjoying type thing.
100%. And that's one of those big red flags for, you know, when people self-describe as dominance, you know, like for anybody who is looking at that into that scene. I think anyone who's saying, I'll push your safe word, or I'll push your limits, and, you know, we'll do all of these kind of things, it can be, yeah, you've got to be really careful with that kind of thing, because really that's the opposite of what it should be. Like, safe words, limits, all of these things should be discussed, whether they're soft limits, hard limits. Hard limits should never be pushed under any circumstances. Like, and yeah, that trust that goes both ways, because I mean, I think a good dominant at the end of the day is going to be terrified of misstepping or of overstepping, and yeah, it definitely takes a lot of trust and communication on both sides to kind of get there. And you see the lack of communication, like that falling down, and where that causes problems as well. And that's why it's so, you know, so important.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I did love the scene where Dom, they're all in the room and Dom's like, well, did you discuss safe words? And they're all like, we didn't get that far. And then I think Jake's like, well, no, because her mouth was
her mouth was full. We did non-verbals.
And then she's like, wait, what?
I mean, to be fair, he didn't say you have a safe word, but he did say, like, if I gag you too much, just tap my thigh. You know, she did have it out there.
I thought it was so sweet, like, where Dom actually, like, showed a bit of his true self when he was, like, he gets down to her level because she was so, like, well, I just thought I had to take what you gave me. And not that she could have certainly, but she, you know, she consented and whatever, but during some of those scenes. But he, like, was really, like, no, this isn't, you need to, that's not what we're about. Like,
it's the whole imbalance of the dynamic, like the deal in the first place, that definitely kind of comes into question there. And, like, you know, the kind of intrinsic, well, is it, like, because yes, she has consented in each individual scene and each person is making sure of her, it, like, consent individually, but they're
understood. She's had a totally different view of what she was meant to be doing here, and I was
exactly,
like,
exactly, it's either safety or yeah, it's her safety and security or leaving. And if that's the thing, I mean, Jasper tells her earlier that Don would have to take it up with him if he wanted to kick her out. But yeah, it's I like that scene too. And I think it definitely, yeah, like you said, shows a bit more of Dom there when he kind of stops for long enough, because he hasn't even really been talking to her at all, stops for long enough to kind of think. Well,
I didn't really explain this well.
Yeah. exactly. Maybe there's a few things missing here. I don't know.
And I think that's where Bo calls him Dominic, and then Dom mimics him as like Beaumont. I was like, I love when they call him that.
They're cute. They can be cute.
Absolutely.
I love the survival tips at the start.
I do like that at the start of every chapter.
I love this one. Like, this is survival tip number 150. When men start swinging their dicks around, duck. I love that one. Or when men as fail, go primal. I'm like, that's probably true. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. It's valuable life lessons there.
Yeah.
Some of them are
definitely valuable.
They are. Some of them are interesting lessons that I think that they think are right at the time and turn out not to be at different points, but
one of my favorite quotes is from Lucky. He's like, now have mercy on me and put that sexy as fuck mouth back on my dick. I was like, so many times I was like literally laughing out loud at this book. Or when he's like, run like the wind, babe, when he sets.
Oh, I love that. That scene is potentially my favorite in the book. I love that scene.
Oh, I love
Lucky,
it.
Lucky's probably the most emotionally evolved one.
At the end of the day, I feel like the entire House of Bristlebrook would have imploded without Lucky's constant pranks and sunshine. Sure. And the fact that he's pretty much probably been the only one that's been talking for the past 3 years, I feel like the rest of them were just getting around with little grunts and sidesteps because none of them seem to have communicated with each other. Poor Lucky. No wonder he talks a mile a minute, because he's like, well, no one else is talking to me. I need to fill all gaps.
Fill that gap. Exactly.
I love when he's with Jake as well, toward the end, where he's like, just, I've got no one else to talk to. So he just goes in and just starts
yammering at Jake.
Yeah. And then Jake's like, just thinking, do I shove this screwdriver into his neck and shut him up? what's going
on? Poor Lucky.
I know. So they really need to give Lucky more credit. You know, he's literally kept the gang together.
Yeah. He totally has.
He's such a sweetheart too. Like, he just wears his emotions on his sleeve, and he's not afraid of being himself or saying how he feels. And and I love how he's super bratty with Jasper.
The moment at the end when he finally builds up the courage
That, and also when he's like, do you know what? Screw all you guys. I'm going to get it on with Eden in the music room, and also blare it out, because it has speakers throughout the house.
Jasper's like, he must have forgot to turn the intercom off, did he?
Yeah,
must have forgot. That's an unfortunate overstep for him, a misstep.
Whoopsie. What an accident.
I did not think that we would be lucky. My bad. Yeah, no, I did love that. But yes, and book two is even more of a crazy ride. And it's so angsty as well, book two.
Yeah, it
is. Which I think is a surprise. Because I mean, it's angsty in book one, but I think more relationship wise in book two, the angst comes into it.
I kind of always see book one as being almost an introduction to the characters, to the world. We're starting to see a lot of their flaws, a lot of their cracks, the issues that they're we've just been that they're not really talking about, that they haven't been talking about for a very long time. And Eden's kind of stirring all of, without even meaning to, just stirring this whole pot and making them question and ask questions. And then I think, book two is very much all of those cracks splintering apart, and individually for themselves and also relationship wise, it's just everyone kind of breaking apart, breaking down. Like, it's very much a self-reckoning for a lot of people. And some of them, you know, do the work and improve themselves, and some are a bit slower getting there, but I think book three for me will be, you know, everyone coming back together, really figuring out, like, you know, all these things that they've kind of been doing wrong for so long, and that, you know, they're suffering because of, and really needing to work out the right way of doing things this time.
Yes. Lots of interesting things I think will happen in book three. I can't wait. And what is the time frame for the release of that one?
Mid-year. So should be mid-year, and then advanced copies should go out a couple weeks beforehand, but I should be able to confirm a date pretty soon. I've just had to wait for my editor to confirm dates, but I should be able to get a release date out very shortly. But yes,
exciting.
Should be mid-year.
That's very exciting. I can't wait. And you mentioned you're going to Rare soon. So what have you got planned in terms of events over the next, say, year or so?
So I've got Rare's my only one for this year. A lot of these events kind of are booked a year or two out. So I, Ensnared only came out 9 months ago. So I didn't even think of events really at the start, like for a while yet. So, but I've got a few planned for 2025. I've got a bunch of Australian ones. So I've got Readers Unleashed in Cairns. Yep. Dark Delights in Brisbane, Babe Sydney, and Rare Melbourne. Nice. And also internationally, both in May, I've got Love and Romance in Toronto and Wild and Windy in Chicago.
Oh, wow. So you have a packed year next year.
Yeah. I love travel, and I haven't been able to, like, I haven't done any travel at all since before COVID. So I just want to get out.
Yeah, house. For sure.
Yeah. And I tend to write really well when I travel as well. So there's something about just, like, being out with people and, you know, having fun and sitting around. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's going to be a massive year, but so cool. Mm-hmm.
Are you guys doing Rare or Babe or any of the other ones?
We are doing Babe. Yep. And we are doing Readers Take Denver next year. We're in there. That's all we've got planned at the moment. Yeah.
We have quite a lot of expressions of interest out there, but they haven't been announced yet. Amanda's like, I even did a couple for 2026, which I think I've got to check that. I think we may be in for one in 2026, but I mean, that's just so far away. We don't need to worry about that one.
I think they take a lot longer to confirm vendors as well than they do authors. They tend to do those first. I don't know why, but I've just noticed that as well.
No, it should be good.
There's a few that we've got a few local ones as well, or Australian ones, but that we are doing, but we haven't been officially announced yet. So we will announce those soon.
Oh yeah, I definitely haven't been officially announced for about half of those ones either, but I will.
I will. It's fine.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Exclusives. All right, Beck, get your questions out. I know you've got them.
I do. All right. Now, I do apologize, but we are going to start off with a fuck, marry, kill, but we're doing it different.
All right.
Being nice.
Are we?
We're going to do, because there's five of them, and I have to write this down. So we have, and I'm happy to share, and Amanda will share, you will share yours too. You're playing along, okay? So we have fuck, marry, kill, date.
Oh, you got two fucks.
Yeah, because I couldn't not, right?
fuck, marry, kill, date?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to I'm going to marry Eden, or am I only choosing with the brutes?
You can do whatever you want.
I have to choose Eden because she's my favorite. Eden. But lucky.
Oh, now you're going to have to kill two then, if you're including Eden. Oh, I'm sorry, you just changed the rules, so.
Oh, that's brutal. Oh, man. Well, okay. I'll rip the band-aid off then. I'm going to kill Bo. I'm going to kill Bo because I'm riding him at the moment and he's annoying the shit out of me. So, I'm going to pick Bo. I adore him. But not right now. So,
okay.
He's the most stubborn on personal growth, I think, out of all of them. Who else do I kill? Oh man. Well, I'm definitely going to date. I'll date Lucky.
Mm-hmm.
I'll fuck Jake. Oh, Jasper and Dom. I'm going to really mean. Okay,
excuse
I'm
me.
I'll fuck Dom and kill Jasper because I feel like he's so self-tortured that maybe it will just be a more of a relief to him.
True, yeah, it's true, actually, yeah.
Oh,
Amanda, what do you?
But that hurts because I love Jasper.
I love Jasper so much.
I'm not that little.
Like you're dating Lucky, like Jasper's just—he's a part of that, you know.
Jasper's one of my favorites to write. If I
now, but he can't be.
Pardon?
Amanda goes, well, there's a loophole because if you're dating Lucky, Jasper's there. I said no, she killed him dead. He's not there.
Yeah, I did. It's pretty brutal. I don't think I could take all of. Yeah, Jasper's. Jasper's intense. I don't know if I could.
He is very intense.
Yeah,
he's very intense.
Well, Amanda,
you go, Beck. You go. No, these you are your
go.
Rules.
You go. Exactly, and I'm telling you to go.
Yeah, I want to hear. Let's go.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to kill two people because I don't need Eden to be there. I'm happy to
seriously
five to myself.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm going to fuck Lucky because I feel like with all of his flexibility, like he would be able to get in some really great positions. And
for
also
sure.
Feel like he would be very attentive in the bedroom, like really attentive.
Mm-hmm.
Also with all of my doms, like I'm gonna need somebody who can just like fuck me normally sometimes. So
oh
he's gonna be
God.
That person.
You need a break.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna date Jake because I actually think he would be like once he's worked through his issues.
He's in a demons.
I think that he would be a very attentive boyfriend. And also then he would chase me through the woods as well as a part of that dating, and that's fine too. So yeah, I would date him.
That's fine too. Acceptable.
That's acceptable. And I'm going to marry Dom, and I'm gonna do that because I feel like he would be quite a good husband again once he's worked through his issues. I actually feel like he's very good at, you know, planning, you know. I feel like he'd take that off the table. Like he wouldn't have to worry about all the planning. He would be able to do that.
He does a lot of work on himself in book two. I feel like he's shown that he can, you know, he's willing to try. Yeah.
And I am coming at that from a post book two person as well.
Yeah.
So
I feel like Dom especially is like a big change between book one and book two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't want to kill Jasper, but I'm gonna have to because I need to fuck Bo, especially after the things that he does in book two. So yeah, unfortunately. I don't want to kill Jasper though.
Sacrifices
really
have to be
him.
Made.
Mm.
Yeah, look, someone has to go.
Sorry, Jasper.
Depends where your gigs are, you know? It's a hard life.
Go. Okay.
I'm dating Lucky because I feel like, you know, you'd have a good time. It's always going to be
have a good time.
It's always going to be adventurous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Potentially get into trouble, and that excites me.
potentially, like definitely will get in trouble with Lucky.
Definitely will. Yeah, you're going to end up in jail at the end of the night.
Yeah. And I've gone, like, these next ones I've like gone back and forth on. I'm killing Jasper just because,
Or Jasper.
yeah, him
Yeah.
and yeah, I'm killing him off at the moment. And then the next three. Okay. I am actually going to fuck Dom and Bo. I'm marrying Jake because I still get to fuck him too. And I also feel like he would protect me, like he's got that protective instinct as
Absolutely.
well.
Yeah, he does.
But I did between those three, I was conflicted with who I'd want to marry. And yeah, Jake is definitely who I definitely want to marry. It would be
I
quite
understand. I
yeah.
respect
And then Eden
that.
is gonna be my bestie because, you know, we're gonna have, you know, a good time. If she wants to join in too, that's cool. You know, that's fine. That's fine.
I should have
Actually, but it
chosen
makes
Bessie for
sense to
Aiden
marry
instead of
her
killing
too.
two of my brutes.
Yeah, it does
Oh
seem
my
failed on your behalf
gosh.
there, Rebecca.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah. I feel like
Bloody.
people should send us in their choices as well, because I would be interested to find out like
This is
what people
actually a
thought
super
about.
hard one.
It was, yeah.
It really is. Yeah, that is hard.
But, you know, I haven't gone to book two yet, but I will be going to book two later today. And so that's just my thoughts after book one.
Yeah, good luck. Book two's heavy.
And look, to be honest, Dom was on the cutting block for a long time. He was going to be killed.
Oh yeah. It's like the last third of Ensnare that he finally starts, you know, doing anything basically
Yeah,
that isn't.
but he did redeem himself when he did, you know, show some of his true self to Eden a couple of times, even though there was like, if you blinked, you'd miss it, but it was enough. It was enough.
Yeah, he struggles. They all struggle so much.
Okay.
Poor boys.
In a post-apocalyptic world, what are the three things that you would miss having the most?
Hot water, probably.
Oh my God.
For so many different reasons, but probably hot water would be in there. I'm not a very good cook anyway, so I feel like at apocalyptic world on there, I'm gonna like either starve or just be really miserable. So
Yeah,
like
so miserable.
access to like good food, like easy food. We're talking like not living at Bristlebrook kind of apocalypse. Safety probably, just in general, like even the relative safety. I think feeling like I'm responsible for my own life. I'm not a terribly confident human being, so I don't think I'm I don't think I'm long for this world, really.
You're gonna have to join one of the gangs in the forest to be
Really,
able
like, yeah, I'm it's funny because like even when I was like first started writing this, I'm like, I just don't think I would survive. Like I really just don't. Like I did, and the more research I did, the more it just convinced me that I just like I feel like I know more and still have less confidence than ever in my ability to make it here. Like
Yeah, for
yeah.
sure.
What are yours?
Yeah, I think mine would be similar. Definitely food would be an issue. Also, like my heavy reliance upon technology. Like I would be like, oh, I can't read those books because my phone died and we don't have any power, so I can't charge it, which is like really gutting. And like no lights or anything like that. Like that would be a super struggle. But also like just cleanliness in general, I think would be a real struggle with me because I would not cope well with feeling dirty all the time. And then I wouldn't want to eat because I would feel dirty. Like, no. So it's a whole issue. But I definitely feel like I'd be killed off within the first like week.
You're giving yourself a week.
I'm giving myself a week because I feel like there'll still be like rations and stuff left that I could, but then eventually I'd have no food left. I'd have to go look for it, immediately killed.
Then
if you manage to like hide in your own home, I could probably survive in my house for a week.
Yeah. And then I'm like, oh shit, I need to go get some resources, dead immediately when I step outside.
Yeah. I would also, I would miss my shower and I would miss, ice cream. And I would miss my
very pillow. Specific. I love it though.
I'd miss my pillow so much.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like you know, yeah. I could. I can't really even really take it with me because I've got to. I've got to be strategic with my.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you could, but it's probably not the most like.
it'd be like when you, because I can't handle even carrying a coat around, let alone carrying my pillow. So. So I'd have to sacrifice it, and I would love, and I would miss it.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think you'd be hard pressed to get a car out through a lot of roads and things like that as well. Like everyone's probably driving out, so yeah, probably what you can carry.
Definitely.
That's the other thing. I'm not very strong. I don't think I'd be able to carry very much.
Oh, I know, and I. You know, the way that Eden makes it sound is just this tiny little backpack and then she's like got Mary Poppins, all this shit in there. I've got to lug a suitcase. I don't understand. Like, how is she doing this?
You know, one of those big hiking ones with the with the roll pallets and stuff. But she's quietly like strong, I think. Not in the like super workout way, but just like utility strength. She's just had to like keep moving and
like I'm not even gonna lie, like I have been known to go away for work trips and I've actually opened my suitcase and I have forgotten to take my clothes and my suitcase is empty. That happened. That's a real true story. And
I have new clothes, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't have any clothes. Thankfully I had the clothes that I wore to the hotel and I had my I packed my pajamas apparently, but I didn't pack anything else. And I had to make a mad dash to Kmart at 7 a.m. before I had to present. But so I wouldn't do well with packing the necessity. Like I'd probably forget to take a knife. I'd probably forget to take crucial things and I would just have a backpack full of unnecessary shit. And that would, you know what I'd miss? Toothpaste. Oh, I'd miss toothpaste. So much.
Clean taste.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'd probably have to take so many packets of toothpaste just to last me a lifetime. I wouldn't be able to do it.
Just as an FYI, though, like you won't be able to go and get it because the shops are bombed. So,
yeah,
like,
I would
only what you've got in
stash.
Your house.
Yeah. So I'd have to take all the toothpaste. Yeah. Because I buy it in bulk from Costco anyway,
small
right?
Small towns, but I feel like people are going to be grabbing them. Like, anything that's not
fine. And that's where you're going to get killed. Go and get your toothpaste stash.
Yeah.
I know.
Murdered for toothpaste.
So I could probably go a year, right? Because I'd have enough here in my house to last me a year if I rationed it.
Wow. Meanwhile, I have arguments with my fiance when we're getting to the like roll up part. I'm like, can you just get another roll? He's like, we're still good for 3 days. I'm like,
yeah.
Low-key anxiety about the toothpaste situation in my house in this perfectly non-apocalyptic.
I don't know why I have a lot of toothpaste. But anyway, I'd last a year. I reckon, Amanda, I would last a year.
Good on you.
On toothpaste, yeah.
Yeah.
No food, but you've got all the toothpaste, so that's okay. Starve to death before your toothpaste run out, but that's all right.
I'd only be able to eat
beautiful breath.
Like, I don't know, grass and shit. Like, I wouldn't be able to eat. I couldn't be able to kill anything.
I don't think the grass is going to sustain you for that long.
It's going to have to.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you for this very informative chat. Now everybody's going to go out and sit down and put their plan together for what they would do in an apocalypse. And also
survival,
all of a sudden people have like 20 tubes of toothpaste in their things. Yeah. Just in case.
Yeah, at what point does it become doomsday prep? If you've got like a go bag, just in case for any type of scenario, is it like... If you start hoarding supplies, where's the level? Like, yeah.
I'm lucky to have an up-to-date like first aid kit.
Right.
Let alone but I always think to myself, like, maybe I should have a go bag.
Maybe. You can't be sure.
Yeah.
No. Well, everybody will have one now, so it's all good. We're really doing a service for the community after this episode.
Actually, like, are.
Yeah. We are.
I think I'm going to need some booze in there, because if I'm facing an apocalypse, I'm going to need,
yes.
to just soften the blow there a little bit, I think.
Yeah. You can always use it as antiseptic too when, you know, you get shot and stuff.
No, it won't be.
Yeah.
No, I'll need that for the drinking part.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us. We can't wait to read book 3 and also to see you around at the different signing events. It'll be very exciting. Yay! And if anybody, I don't know, if there's probably a buy, swap, and sell for tickets for Rare in Paris. So people can jump on there if they want to go and see you over there, which will be soon. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much for having me, guys. It was super fun.
Thank you.